Open up your Bibles, if you will, and we're going to be going to 2 Chronicles. We've had a great week of fasting and prayer. This is the last day of our week of fasting and prayer, but every night, every weeknight this week, minus Saturday, we gather together on Facebook Live for a virtual prayer gathering. Who was part of that? Wave at me if you were part of that. I know a lot of people were, and there's a lot of folks that we're viewing online as well from different parts of the country, and had some great interaction with some folks, some comments that were made. But we looked at the life of King Jehoshaphat. There were some life lessons that we learned from him, and it was really interesting about his life. I'm so thankful that that we have the Bible to take and read some things and glean some stuff and be able to learn some life lessons from people that were imperfect just like us. We're all imperfect people. And God has given us an opportunity to take from His Word some things and say, how can I be maybe learn from that so that I don't make that same mistake and maybe walk some things out in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. So today, I want us to look at one more life lesson from His life. And it's if you have read His story, it's found, and write this down if you want to, by the way. And one more thing, too, before I forget. If you didn't get a journal last week, let me just do this right now. Pastor Matt, could you grab these real quick and just to make sure? If you weren't here last week and you didn't get a journal, Pastor Matt and Pastor Joseph is going to grab a few. And just raise your hand if you want one of these. And just keep it up until you get a journal. And then use it today. Break it in today. Get to the first page and start writing down some notes. So I'm doing this now so you can get it before we begin our message here. And then also let it be a compliment to your Bible. And let these, your Bible and this journal be together side by side so that as the Holy Spirit speaks to you in His Word, you can write down some things that the Holy Spirit shows to you based on whatever it is that you're studying that day. It's just a great way for the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to put those thoughts on paper so you can refer back to them. There's something about writing things down that helps you to remember it a little bit more than just reading it, and so it's a reinforcement. So did everybody get one that wants one? Very good. All right, very good. So open up your journals, open up your Bibles, and keep your hands raised if you didn't get one, and they're still looking around for folks that have their hands up. King Jehoshaphat made some interesting decisions in his life. And the way that I want us to look at his life today is this. There were some things that he did, if you read his story in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, 18, 19, and 20, some major things that were going on in his life that he stopped and he sought God for. They were beyond his pay grade. They were bigger than him. They were overwhelming. As he looked at him, as he looked at the situations, he realized, hey, I can't do anything about this. I've got to stop, pray, seek the Lord fast, call a fast, bring some other people into the equation. Let's pause and let's make sure that what is going on here is something that he would want us to do. So you read this dichotomy of him in that way, but on the other side of the spectrum of his life, he tended to kind of make some decisions that were, I would call, in his pay grade, the day-to-day stuff, that he never sought God for. At least we can see from the results of it that he just kind of did it based on what he felt like, maybe felt good, and seemed right at the time. And so we take his life and we apply it to where we are today. I want to move this into where we are in 2021 and say, hey, folks, hey, congregation, have you lived your life in such a way where you seek God in the bigger things, but you don't seek Him in the smaller things? Do you seek God when it's overwhelming, when it's a big wall in front of you, when the armies are advancing towards you in such a way where you realize, I'm just a little guy and I've got a million people coming at me. God, I need your help and I need your rescue. But on the other stuff, you just kind of put them to the backside and say, Lord, I got this. I want to talk about that this morning because the title of this message this morning is for 2021. I want to challenge you to let God be the God of all of your days in all of your ways. That should be up on the screen. God of all of my days and all of my ways. That's where I want us to be this morning and going forward in our walk with Him. I just wonder how many times that we've done that. We've earnestly sought God in the big stuff. but relegated him to the background in the easy day-to-day simple stuff. And I wonder how differently things would be for us if we sought God as earnestly in the day-to-day as we do in the major decisions that we face. You know, let him be the Lord of everything, the big stuff, the small stuff, and everything in between, like he desires to be and like he should be in our lives. So as we ask this question, am I giving God all of my days and all of my ways? We look back at King Jehoshaphat's life for just a moment to give you an example or two of what I'm talking about. We can see the influence of his father, King Asa, and you can look back at 2 Chronicles chapters before chapter 17 and read his story. And we see King Asa, who was Jehoshaphat's dad, had some good and bad in him as well. But ultimately, and hear me out here, because I'm laying a premise here that I want you to really listen to, because this relates to us. Ultimately, King Jehoshaphat was responsible for his own life and his own decisions. You see, not once do we read that Jehoshaphat blamed his upbringing, he blamed his environment, or he blamed anything else for his circumstances. As I said this past Friday, you and I were there for, and we also are a willing participant in every bad, sinful, rebellious, boneheaded decision that we've ever made. There was not one time that a decision was made in your life that you weren't there for it. There was not one time that you took a step in a particular direction that you weren't there to make that decision. You weren't having an out-of-body experience and it happened aside from you or apart from you. You were there. You made that decision. No one made you do that thing that you did. You did it. You said it. You acted on that thought. And so we must own it. We must be a man or a woman. Step up and stop blaming anyone or anything else. Because ultimately we're responsible for our own decisions. It's not your mama. It's not your daddy. It's not your ancestry, it's what happened to you when you were a child. It's not the color of your skin or your financial status or anything else that's to blame for your actions. You did it, period. We ignored the voice of the Holy Spirit. We tuned out the advice of friends and family and our spiritual leaders, and we chose not to apply God's word. We rationalized with our conscience, and we convinced ourselves that what we wanted to do was smart and good and okay, and so we did it. We sold ourselves on every decision that we've ever made. And by the way, we rarely need to sell ourselves on a good idea. It's usually the bad ideas that we have to sell ourselves on. Only after the euphoria of the act wore off did we realize how foolish it was and what damage that it caused. Because with every act comes consequences. How many knows what I'm talking about? You didn't mean to blow up your marriage. You didn't mean to become addicted. You didn't mean to bury yourself into this mountain of debt. But yet, here you are in that situation. Knowing the smart thing, the godly thing to do, in no way ensures that we will do it, by the way. Let me say that again. Knowing the smart thing to do, knowing the godly thing to do, in no way ensures we will do it. Sure, we have a heart for the Lord. Sure. We love the Lord. I get that. We're all in the same camp. And most of the time we do pretty good, just like King Jehoshaphat. But are we allowing God to be in charge of all of our days and all of our ways, you see? That's where we get into trouble. When we relegate him off to the side and don't allow him to have every area of our lives. If we're careful, we're going to relegate him only to the big stuff. Who to marry? What school to attend? What job to accept? Should I buy this house? Should I make this move, etc.? While not ever considering to ask him about the simpler matters. Such things that you may think are insignificant, like, should this person be my friend? And should I make this purchase? Or should I have that conversation? And if so, what should I say? Even something as routine as, should I go to this restaurant or that restaurant? Because the Holy Spirit should be leading us in every area of our lives. And let me just give you why I gave you that example of a restaurant. Maybe the Holy Spirit has someone for you to speak to at this restaurant that is not at that restaurant. I want a hamburger, but I'm going to get a taco instead, because where the taco is where the person needs to hear about Jesus. You see? Those are called divine appointments, right, Shekinah? I love that phrase that you use, divine appointments. I call them holy interruptions too. It just kind of interrupts our day. I'm here to get a taco, but the Lord's there for you to minister to somebody. And that's what we need, is to be led by the Spirit in every big and small decision that we make, being Spirit-led at all times. You see, the easiest person to deceive and the easiest person to convince is the one that you look at in the mirror every morning. Once we realize the long-term impact and repercussions of our choices, the big ones and the small ones, the ones beyond our pay grade and the ones that we can control, it sobers us to the importance of allowing God to be in control of all of our days, in all of our ways. Jehoshaphat's life shows us the importance of this. In the big stuff, as I said, it was a slam dunk. He sought God. He fasted. He prayed. He cried out to Him. He trusted in Him completely. I'm going to let you read this story, but I'm not going to go over it. But in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 30, it's a great story of this prime example. It describes such a time. There was a vast army that was coming to attack Judah, and Jehoshaphat knew that he was in trouble. This was bigger than he can handle. It was a massive army coming his way. And so he called the nation to a fast and the people to pray. And we see as we read this story that God showed up in a miraculous way, in a way that we've read before in the Bible in times past, where all they had to do was just show up. And God had already taken care of it for them. He already fought the battle for them. He gave them a great victory. And on top of that, He gave them a great plunder from the enemy. But in the other things, in those day-to-day choices and decisions that he needed to make, he tended to go it alone. He relegated God to the background. I want you to read 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Write that down and read it later on, for example. The entire chapter is him going, oops, what have I done? I'll give you a real quick synopsis of it in one sentence. He foolishly allied himself with evil King Ahab and nearly got himself killed as a result. We talked about that on Friday night in our prayer meeting. Or if you'll read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the last few verses, another thing you can look at later, another example of him just kind of, hey, this seems right. And he made a decision. He partnered with evil King Ahaziah, which, by the way, was evil King Ahab's son, in a joint shipbuilding venture that went absolutely nowhere and cost him a ton of money because God wasn't conferred and God didn't bless it. Think about it. How many times have you made decisions in your life that cost you a lot of money, that cost you a relationship, that cost you a job, that cost you your reputation? It cost you a lot of different things. And you knew that it was wrong on the back end of it, but you realized on the front end of it, you'd never conferred God. You never even asked Him. It just seemed right. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but at the end it leads to destruction. And that's exactly what this is talking about. You know, it's like Jehoshaphat was two different people. One part of him totally relied on God when the situation was huge and overwhelming, but then the other part said, and we say this a lot, don't we? Hey, God, I got this one, but thanks anyway. I got it. So what can we do here, folks? How can we remedy this in our lives? Because we all have the propensity to do this, don't we? I'm in the group with you. I'm going to be the first to raise my hand to say, I've done it before, and I sure don't like the repercussions of it. I don't like the results of it. I don't like the fruit of it. How about you? Oh, I would much rather be, Lord, I seek You in every area of my life. And even the things that don't benefit me. Again, going back to the example of the restaurant, I'm going to get filled up no matter what I get, the hamburger or the taco. But what's more important is that I get the taco even though I don't necessarily want it, because someone's life, someone's eternity is hanging in the balance. I'm going to plant water in someone's life so that God can bring the increase. That's not going to benefit me, but surely going to benefit the person that I'm speaking into. So sometimes these things don't benefit us. Sometimes they benefit others. But also sometimes these decisions that we make that are not of the Lord hurts others as well as us. And we need to be careful for that. Almost actually all the time they do. So how can we make this year a year that we can experience God's blessings, His favor, His protection, His guidance in every aspect of our lives? The big ones, the small ones, the consequential ones in the day-to-day. How many would like to live a life that is blessed in every way at all times? If you would like that, say amen. Amen. How can we give God all of our days and all of our ways? Well, here's the first step. First, we need to back up from the situation in our lives. Let's just back up even from ourselves and understand what the Bible says about our hearts is that we have and we're dealing with a deceitful heart. You see, you and I, we have a deceitful heart. We do. We were born with it. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" That's packed with a lot right there. And when we realize that, that we have this deceitful heart that is inside of us, that's beyond cure. When we accept the fact that it's a permanent condition and it requires constant supervision, all we can do is step back and say, wow, I didn't realize. So even though God gave you and I a new heart when we accepted Jesus, and He did give us a new heart when we accepted Him, He gave us a cleansed heart from our sins when we accepted Him. I want you to hear me this morning if you haven't heard anything else. We still have a heart that has the propensity to be deceitful. We have a renewed heart. We have a new heart in Christ. But also that heart is battling with the heart that we were born with that wants to deceive us. And as the Bible says, there's really no cure for it. In other words, until we get to heaven, we're contending daily with this heart that desires to deceive us. And it battles against what God desires to do in us and through us and for us as He makes us more like Jesus. And again, we have no one to blame for it but ourselves. Not your mama, not your daddy. The devil didn't make you do it. Satan cannot make you do anything. You did it. You made the choice. You deceived yourself into thinking that it was okay. Now, the devil might have egged you along. He might have tempted you. He might have lured you. But the final choice was yours, and you made it. Once we admit that this battle is there, we're well on our way to growing in Christ as we experience more successes than failures as it relates to the choices that we make and the days and ways that we give to Jesus. Oh, I want that for you with all of my heart this morning. Now, the opposite of deceit is truth. And God is the God of all truth. Who can understand that? The question that we had in Jeremiah 17:9, who can understand it? Who can understand this deceitful heart? I know somebody. His name is Jesus. He can understand your deceitful heart this morning. He knows exactly what's going on. And He's given us the Spirit of truth. That's one of the titles of the Holy Spirit. He's a comforter when we need comforting at the loss of a loved one. He's a guide for us. He empowers us. He's all these different things that He is. But one of the things that He's entitled is He's the Spirit of Truth. That's one of His labels. That's one of His job descriptions. And He helps us to supervise and to overcome our deceitful hearts at every turn. He's there tapping us on the shoulder saying, wait a minute, don't say that, don't do that, don't make that decision, don't go that way. For us to give God all of our days and all of our ways and to allow Him to be in charge of the big stuff and the day-to-day, we need to be truthful with ourselves. We must look at our deceitful hearts when we're faced with a decision, when we're looking in the mirror, when we're trying to convince ourselves that what we're getting ready to say or do is perfectly fine. It's perfectly good. It's perfectly right. And then pause long enough to tell ourselves the raw, unfiltered truth. A lot of times, if we'll simply just pause, and in between the space of the thought and the action, that pause is where the Holy Spirit can really speak into our lives. I don't think too often many of us pause, do we? I think we get that thought and we act on it, and never give a place in that middle there for the Holy Spirit to say, wait just a minute here. Let's consider this. So in other words, the first step that we need to do to help us to overcome this is we have to admit it. Say, I have a deceitful heart. It's just admitting it to ourselves. If you have to say it out loud, say it out loud, but admit it. We all have a deceitful heart. Embrace a healthy suspicion of your deceitful heart. Don't be so self-righteous that you can't be honest with yourself and admit your flesh is still there. It's lurking in the shadows. It's waiting to spring a trap on you. Be open to the fact that the salesman inside of you will constantly show up and start selling you on that thing that you know will destroy you. It's ironic, isn't it? But it happens all the time, doesn't it? So you admit it, number one. The second thing that you need to do is have that conversation with yourself. Maybe have a heart-to-heart conversation. Maybe look in the mirror. Go ahead and look in that same mirror that you're looking at every morning to say, well, that's the best it's going to look. I'm going to go on out from here, right? You get it all prettied up. Well, while you're doing that, stop for just a moment and say, why do I have a deceitful heart? Why am I making this decision? Why am I leaning this way? Why am I feeling this way? Look in the mirror and talk openly to yourself and be honest with yourself and invite the Holy Spirit to reveal the lies of the enemy and your own deceitful heart to you. Even if you know that the decision is wrong, that it's harmful, that it's destructive, you owe it to yourself to talk to yourself about it so that it's out in the open. I mean, just get it out in the open. I want to do this. Say it out loud. I feel this way. I'm thinking in this direction. Say it out loud. Just let it out there and talk to yourself about it. Have a conversation. Invite the Holy Spirit into that situation. And then finally, ask yourself some honest questions. So you admit you have a deceitful heart. You let it out there. And then you say, all right, I'm going to ask me some honest questions. Why do I feel this way? Why do I want to do this thing? What's motivating me, this desire that I know is going to be harmful and destructive? What is coming over me? And once you ask and you're honest with yourself, then you're going to be accountable to yourself, which we hate that, don't we? Because again, we're the biggest salesman to ourselves, and we're going to convince ourselves that it's good and right and it's okay. And we're going to sell ourselves on it every single time. But telling yourself the truth and owning up to the real reason that you want to say or do that thing will make it harder to deceive yourself, and it will empower you to make the right decisions. And after all of this, invite the Holy Spirit to take charge, to give you strength, to show you the way of escape, to show you a better way, to choose the higher road, to turn and run, whatever you need to do to choose the Christ path of righteousness, then do that. Build that spiritual muscle in your life and watch yourself grow in Him this year. Sounds like a good plan, doesn't it? And it's easier said than done. I understand that. But get honest with yourself. Invite the Holy Spirit into the equation and say, wait a minute. I keep doing this same thing. I keep saying this same thing. I keep making these same boneheaded choices. And it's messing me up. It's damaging me. It's costly in relationships, in my finances, in my integrity, in my witness. It's damaging me in so many ways. It's damaging, even if no one else knows about it, it's damaging me inside. I feel corrupted. How many knows what I'm talking about? And you're tired of it. So if Jehoshaphat would have paused, again, that pause between the thought and right before the decision is made, did you pause? Before you act on it, and that space between the thought and the decision and the acting of it, that's the gap where the Holy Spirit can say, there's a higher road. There's a way of escape. There's a path of righteousness. There's a Christ-like way. Take that path. Make that decision. Put this under the blood. Repent of it and embrace me. Let me be the God of all of your days in all of your ways. It's what the Holy Spirit is asking us and inviting us to this morning. If Jehoshaphat would have paused just for a moment or two and taken these steps to admit that he had a deceitful heart, to ask the hard questions to himself, to be curious as to why he wanted to act upon them, and to allow God to show him a better, wiser, safer, more blessed way, he most certainly would have spared himself and his kingdom from those things that he ended up doing. But because he didn't allow God, in his day-to-day life, he experienced heartache. It cost him a ton of money, and it really almost cost him his life that one time. And more than that, and I touched on this a moment ago, it also impacted those around him. It impacted his family. It impacted his community. It impacted his fellow countrymen. You see, not only do we have a life to live, but folks, we have a legacy to leave. What we do impacts not only us, but it impacts those around us. No decision is ever made in a vacuum. It has consequences for us, and it has consequences for those that we love. It has consequences also for the kingdom of God. So let's be wise, and let's make good choices. You know, I want to see you do well in 2021 and beyond. With all of my heart, I want to see you make wise choices. But I can't be there for you. As your pastor, I can't stand with you every morning in the bathroom mirror and say, now let's just talk. Are you honest with yourself? Why are you feeling that way? I can't do that. I'd love to, but I can't. But the Holy Spirit can. And as you invite the Holy Spirit to put his arm around you, say, now why do you feel that way? Why do you want to do that? What's going on here? Be honest with yourself. Oh, the Holy Spirit. You can't fool him, but you sure can fool yourself. But the Holy Spirit being authentic and real to you is going to, he's going to draw those things out. He's going to extract those things out of you and say, get real and get like Christ. I want to see you do well. I want to see you make godly, wise decisions. I want to see you be blessed of God and leave a legacy for your future generations as well. So, folks, let's let God be the God of our day-to-day and all of our ways, the big stuff and the small stuff. How about it? Realize and admit that you have a deceitful heart that's incurable, and only God can understand it. Only His Spirit can bypass all of this, the deceit that we fool ourselves with, but Satan, or rather, the Holy Spirit will never be fooled. Then pause. Have that conversation with yourself every day. You look in the mirror. Put on the makeup, you shave, whatever it is that you're doing. Fixing your hair, brushing your teeth. As part of that routine, include this. Have a conversation with yourself every day. And do a heart check every day. It might just take a few moments. You can even do it while you're shaving or putting on your makeup. While you're drying your hair, brushing your teeth. Try not to say it out loud when you're brushing your teeth. You get toothpaste all over the mirror. But just, you know what I'm saying. Have that conversation. And then give the Holy Spirit that time and that permission to show you a better way, a more blessed way, a godly way, a way that steers us away from costly mistakes and steers us towards a life of blessing and abundance and protection and influence for His kingdom. Oh, that's what I want my life to be. How about you? How about you? Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? Father God, we thank you this morning that we can come to you. And as we've sung this morning, you're with us in the fire of our lives. In the crucible and the testing, you're there. And Lord, we know that there's some tests in our life. It's the big stuff, that the big overwhelming armies, the big overwhelming things in our life that we stop and say, wait a minute, God, I need your help. But Lord, it's not just in those times that we need you. It's in the day-to-day stuff. It's in the heart issues of our life. It's in the small things that maybe even no one else knows about. It's in the things that are done in secret. It's in the things, Lord God, that have got a hold of us over the years, habits, feelings, ways of being and doing, that we keep circling around that barn and keep visiting it over and over and over again, and we're tired of it. We're tired of the stronghold that it has had in our lives. So, Father, may we renew our minds in you through your word. May we revolve our hearts and lives around you, Lord Jesus, in relationship with you, in pursuit of you every day. May we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and reveal to us the deceits of our heart that's making us say the things that we say, feel the things that we feel, and do the things that we do that are not pleasing to you, that are in fact destructive to our lives and those around us. Today, help us, Lord God, to be honest with ourselves, that we do have a deceitful heart, and only you understand it. There's no cure for this heart, but you can sure help us. You can sure help us to confront it at every turn whenever it tries to fool us and convince us and sell us on something that will harm us and those around us. That we'll get it out there in the open, that we'll speak it out loud, and that we'll speak your word in place of it and say, Lord, show us the way of escape. Help us to pause, Lord God, long enough for you to say, wait a minute, and show us that way that is a better way, a higher road, a holy road, a more Christ-like way of being and doing and seeing things. And that we would act upon it in that way so that we can build that muscle in our lives and these things can continue to stay under the blood, that we can continue to keep them at bay and continue to identify them for what they are, the things that are out to try to steal and kill and destroy us. Yes, Satan is trying to do that, but we do that to ourselves as well. And we have no one to blame but ourselves. So may we own up to these things, Lord God, that we have blamed other people for all these years and say, from this day on, I take ownership of this deceitful heart and the actions in my life, these words that I say, these thoughts that I think, these habits in my life, and I place them under the blood. I repent of them. I did those things. And I'm sorry, Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that each one of us today would let you be the Lord of the everyday things in our life, the big stuff and the small stuff and everything in between, that you would be the God of all of our days in all of our ways. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives. Won't you just open up your heart right now and ask the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to come in. Be courageous with this morning. And invite the Holy Spirit right now, the Spirit of truth. Identify him as the Spirit of truth and have him, invite him into your heart, especially those dark areas, especially those areas that you kept him at bay, especially those areas that you've excused away, that you've blamed others for, that you feel like that are under lock and key, that can't be changed, especially those things that you feel like that are set in the mold in your life and can never be altered. They're permanent in your life, and they're not today. I'm here to tell you, they're not. God can change those things. God can help you. He can rescue you. He can redeem you. He can show you a better way, a holy way, a more Christ-like way. Don't let the enemy tell you. Don't let anybody else tell you. Don't let yourself tell you that you can't change, because you can. There's a better way. There's a way that seems right to a man in the way, and in the end it leads to destruction. But then there's also a path of righteousness that Christ wants to lead us on. And we have a choice to make every day. I challenge you to make that choice for Christ, for righteousness, for his ways. Holy Spirit, we give these things to you. We admit that we have the deceitful heart, and we also recognize you're the only one that can expose it every moment of every day. So Holy Spirit, expose it and help us, Lord God, to not convince ourselves and sell ourselves not one more time on any boneheaded, foolish things that we would do that are harmful, costly, detrimental, and potentially deadly. We give you our lives. And we want to make good, godly choices going forward. That we be a blessing to our families, to our church, to our community, to your kingdom, and to our legacy going forward. Father, I pray that blessing. I pray that direction. I cast that challenge upon each one in this congregation and each one that is viewing online. I can't do it for them. No one else can do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves and make this choice. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to join us and to partner with us and to be there with us, a friend that sticks closer than a brother and never leave us, never forsake us. Walk with us through this and help us, Lord God, to look a year from now at where we are today and say, oh, I've seen how you've rescued me. I've seen how you've exposed some things. I've seen how you've grown me to be more like Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I like who I am today. Not where I need to be, but I'm a lot better than I was at the beginning of the year because I yielded to the Holy Spirit and let him be the Lord of the big stuff and the small stuff and everything in between in my day to day. I pray this, Jesus, in your name. And all God's people said amen. Well, I hope you take this to heart this morning. I hope you'll walk this out, because no one else is going to do it for you. But if you need an accountability partner, I would say maybe your spouse, a good friend, your best friend, a brother and a sister in the Lord, if you need someone to help you with this, I love the body of Christ. Because as much as you can look in the mirror and you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you, He's also given us one another. And if you need to turn to someone and say, I need some help in the way that I'm thinking, in the acts that I'm performing, in the direction that I'm going, I need some help. And I need you to hold me accountable. So here's my phone number, speed dial it, whatever you got to do. Text me any time of the day or night. And then you do the same for me. And we're going to grow together in this. Not a bad plan. The body of Christ is a beautiful thing. Just like your body right now, you all stood up. Aren't you thankful that your legs are working this morning? Right? That's part of the body of Christ. Sometimes we need some legs to help us to stand up. Right? Hallelujah for the body of Christ. These altars are open, and these precious people are here to pray with you if you need prayer. But I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over you and dismiss those that need to go. But if you need prayer, I ask you to come up here and let's pray together. And the God of all comfort will bless you and keep you. May you bow your heads right now and let me pray this prayer of blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. May the Lord use you to be a blessing, salt and light to someone this week. May the Lord cause your spiritual womb to be fertile and that many souls will be saved as a result of your witness and testimony, as a result of you opening up your mouth and sharing the good news of Jesus. May the Lord keep you as you walk out through this week and not look to the left or to the right, but keep your eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ, until we meet again. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for these things. And all God's people said, amen.